This month, we're starting a new series titled The Prodigal Son. We desire to be transformed as we desire to grow in more and more like Christ. But for many of us, our strategies for change, they don't work. Anybody try to change before and they're just not working? Okay. Sometimes we feel like we are stumbling toward wholeness as we find ourselves regularly returning to the arms of a kind and loving Father. I pray we all discover a process of change that applies to each of us and a healing journey that moves us toward the likeness of the Father. May we be like the Father in how we love people around us as we start to address the pain that others have caused us. If you have your Bible, open up YouVersion, open up the free Bible app, YouVersion, go in the bottom right, go to More. It's three lines. Click on More, go to Events, and you'll find First Church of the Open Bible, our official name. We go by First Open Bible, but it's under First Church of the Open Bible. You can click on that, and that's today's notes, and you can click Save. The prodigal son, the wayward child, the lost son. Whatever name you know this story by, we have to be careful that the familiarity of this parable told from Jesus does not block us from living its deep truths. I pray we return to Jesus' story with a soft heart and an open mind. I want you to just take a second right now. Ask God to open up your heart, soft heart, open mind. Just ask him right now. Ask him on your own. God, give me a soft heart and an open mind this month. I want us to invite the Holy Spirit to accompany us as we see and relate to each character in this story. Each of these three characters help lead us back home, home to where the Father lives. Now I pray the month of February at First Open Bible, we all find our way back to the Father's house as we continue to stumble toward wholeness. All right, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, third in the New Testament gospel. If you open up your Bible about halfway, you need to keep going. It's about three-fourths of the way or so is where you're going to find Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the gospels. Those are written about Jesus, eyewitnesses of Jesus, stories of Jesus, Jesus' words. It's where we learn so much about the one we serve. To live and to love and to be in likeness of Jesus. And Jesus, he only did what he knew his Father would want him to do. So Luke chapter 15. 15 is the big number on there, the big number. The Bible wasn't written in numbers, and there wasn't numbers and big and little and stuff like that. Verses, that's for us for reference. The big number is a chapter. It's broken in chapters. That came much later. And then we're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read a lot of scripture today because it all flows together. Okay, Luke 15, 1 through 7 says this. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people. He's even eating with them for shame. Verse 3, so Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? And they probably were all like, I don't know, I'm not sure. What would he? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that's lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and his neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. See, in this chapter, church, Jesus uses three parables to show the tax collectors, the notorious sinners, the Pharisees, and even his disciples, that however sinful one may have been, God welcomes him or her back home if they repent and turn to him. It doesn't matter how far you think you've gone, you are never too far gone for Jesus. Now listen, he's telling this story. I'm gonna grab my water real quick. He's telling this story around a big crowd of people. Again. And Jesus risks a lot by talking and telling these stories. He risks a lot from the sinners. He risks a lot from the Pharisees and the religious elite. He risks a lot. See, Jesus risks accusations and judgments from the religious elite in order to fulfill the reason why he came. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are, say it, church, those who are lost. No matter the cost, Jesus came to rescue us. The parable of the lost sheep shows us the joy in heaven over finding and saving of the lost. Each sheep is of high value. The shepherd knew that the lost one was worth saving. Christians, before you were a believer, God sought you. Did you know he is still seeking those who are lost? Amen. I'm one of those. He left the 99 in 1996 and found me. Anybody else in the house, the lost sheep, but how has now been found? Come on now. Now I want to tell you this. If you haven't found Jesus yet, know this. He's searching for you. He's searching for you. Jesus goes on and continues his message of redemption and hope. Get back in Luke 15, verses 8 through 10 says this. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins, right? He's telling another story about the same point he's making. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Now look this up, because us as Americans, we have so much stuff, we don't even understand how precious this was. See, Palestinian women at this time typically received 10 silver coins as a wedding gift. Besides these 10 coins being worth monetary value, these coins had held sentimental value as well. Like a wedding ring, these coins were precious. So to lose one of these coins would be extremely distressing. Just like a woman today who found her lost wedding ring. Anybody ever lost a wedding ring and then found it later? Okay, some of y'all are shy to raise your hand. See, it's just like a woman today who found her lost wedding ring. She would be filled with joy and would want to celebrate with others. Likewise, the heavenly angels rejoice with God over one repentant sinner. Church, perhaps we would have more joy in our faith if we shared Jesus' intense love and concern for the lost. Did you hear me? It's like, man, I'm not real joyful in my walk. Well, maybe we've lost the heart of God. We have lost his first and greatest mission because we have become blinded with self-righteousness. We've been blinded with jealousy and entitlement. We've been blinded with pride. Each individual is precious to God. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter how much money they have. It doesn't matter where they've been. Even death row itself, it does not matter. Jesus grieves over every lost soul. Today you can come back to God, repent of your sins, and make his heavenly hosts, his angels, celebrate. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, you ready to get into the prodigal parable? Okay, let's keep reading. This is one of the most famous stories Jesus has ever told. Luke 15, 11 through 32, we're going to read the rest. All right, so he says this, to illustrate the point even further. Anybody in the house ever had Jesus say something, you don't get it, so he says it again, and then you don't get it, and then he tells you again? Anybody? Yeah. Okay, maybe even today. That's what he's doing here. This is the third story he's telling to make his point. A lot of times we only read this story. That's why I wanted to read the other two before, because they all tie together. To illustrate this point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Verse 13. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. Verse 16, the young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. Ooh, come on. But no one gave him anything. Finally, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I'm dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and I'll say, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. And I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me as your hired servant.' So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, while he was still in the distance, his father saw him coming." Church, that means he's been looking for him. He keeps looking in that direction and waiting for the day. Some of you parents keep looking and waiting. Ooh. Let this bless your heart today. A long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Yeah. I'm going to pause there for a second. You know he probably stunk really bad. He looked terrible. He was probably disgusting. And did that matter to the father? Don't let it matter to you. Come on now. Verse 21, his son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick," he didn't even listen to him, "bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals on his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found." So the party began. Right? Disco ball came out and throwing dates in the air. Anybody else see that too, right? They put on their dancing sandals and they're like, No? Okay. Yeah, me neither. Me neither. Y'all can have your own version. I don't care. Whatever. That's what. If you want heaven to be boring, cool. That's fine. Mine's going to be awesome. So every level of my mansion will have a disco ball. So 25. So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard the music and the dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, "What's going on? Your brother's back," he was told. "And the father has killed the fattened calf and we're celebrating because of his safe return." The older brother was angry and he wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one goat for a feast with my friends. Not once." Verse 30 says, "Yet when this son of yours comes back from squandering his money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf." And now his father said to him, "Look, dear son, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours." We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I assume, church, that we all have worn the shoes of the younger brother at one time. I'm so thankful a loving father welcomes us back home as a lost sheep. He welcomes us back home as a prodigal. But I want to hone in on a character in this story. In my opinion, this character doesn't get highlighted enough in the Christian community. It's the older brother. In the prodigal story, the father represents a loving God. The younger brother represents the lost, the sinners, people who once were or maybe are right now, individuals who are filled with addiction, shame and depression and hopelessness and resentment. We're going to highlight this younger brother and his pain in 2 weeks. Today, I want us to ask the Lord what he wants to say to us about the older brother. The one who thinks he has served his father well. The ones that might look and act like us. Is anyone in the house today so thankful for what God has done in their life? I'm so thankful. I thank God. But maybe somewhere along the line we've lost our way in the Father's house. Not away from it, but in it. We continually try so hard to be righteous. In our pursuit of righteousness, we have become resentful at times when we don't get what we think we are due. Father, have I not served you? Have I not been faithful? While the others go out and they live their life in sin, have I not been obedient? Didn't you say obedience is greater than sacrifice? Then why is this happening to me? I, Father, deserve better. We might even look at the younger brother and think, at least I'm no longer the sinner I once was. Praise God. But if we're honest with ourselves, our spirits are grieving because we have gradually believed in a distorted image of the Father and a distorted image of his love. We have at times judged God and his motives. Anybody want to get real today? At times we have judged God and his motives. We doubt his goodness and the way he chooses to love. We resent God for something we feel he has done incorrectly. Something is still broken inside of us. Church, this story is about two sinful sons. Maybe you have become hardened and have lost your way sitting in the house of God. The older brother stayed at home serving and working and dedicated, but he became motivated by duty rather than motivated by love. He was all truth and no mercy. You know, church, it's hard to understand forgiveness and mercy for yourself when you don't release forgiveness and mercy onto others. And it's easy to hijack the true gospel with performance-based righteousness. This posture gives us the illusion of control and self-holiness. You enter into a life led by a gospel of sin management instead of a gospel of transformation and truth. Instead of in Christ, we feel judged by Christ. I'm preaching, church. Religious demons, you will go in the name of Jesus. You enter into a life led by a gospel of sin management instead of the gospel of transformation and truth. This is not the true love of the Father. This is not what Jesus came to seek and to save. Now, Jesus is the greatest storyteller to ever live. Amen? And a good story does more than just tell us facts. A good story reveals the truth. This prodigal story reveals something about the older brother that I think we all can get behind. It reveals at times we can be complainers, resentful, judgmental, and prideful. I've been there. That we would rather look at the speck of sawdust in their eyes than the log that's in our own. That we'd rather analyze, scrutinize, and evaluate everyone else when God is calling us to look in a mirror and say, Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Now, the older brother enjoyed the benefits of his little brother's rebellion. He got to scapegoat him as the bad and sinful little brother while he rested comfortably in his arrogance and self-righteousness. Come on now. And this was while he was sitting and serving in his father's house. People who act like this typically condemn in others what they cannot bear within themselves. The older brother might be in the father's house, but he's just as lost as his younger brother is. Now, this broken attitude blocks the older brother from being included in the celebration that he was meant to join. For the lost son has come home. His brother is now found. Now, this story should reveal our sense of spiritual entitlement. That we believe that we deserve God's blessing more because of our good behavior and our dedication to him. We feel more deserved. We feel entitled to special treatment. Prosperity, I'm speaking to you. But we cannot manipulate the heart of God. We are not indebted, or he's not indebted to us. We're indebted to him. We cannot manipulate the way that God does things. Church, God is constantly calling us to repent, to change, to forgive, and to love. It will never stop. Now, looking at this older brother, I was thinking, what is his core fear? Right? A lot of times, the things that you're doing, you blame it on the thing, but really there's a root cause of why you believe it anyway. Right? Your addictions, your pains, your struggles, your insecurities, all that has a root. Your root is not what you're doing. Your root is a heart problem. You have a sin problem. You have a heart problem. You have a misconception of what Jesus' love really is or what the freedom of Christ looks like. You have something there that is causing, and it's your roots are rotten, and so your fruits are rotten. So I'm like, Father, tell me, what's the core fear of this righteous older brother? And church, it's this, it's vulnerability. How many years have we sat in church? How many years have we followed Christ and we put on a facade? How you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Praise God, I'm blessed. It's like, oh yeah, you just cussed your neighbors out 2 days ago. You lost your job and you hate everyone and you've contemplated suicide, but you're blessed. Come on now. I'm blessed. Praise God. Yeah, I get you're blessed, but that's not what I asked. Like, how you doing? Like, what are you going through? What do you need prayer for? Like, what's really going on in your life? I'm not saying you got to walk around sulking all the time. What I'm saying is this, be vulnerable, be real. The reason why people are not coming around you and you're not seeing anybody come to Christ is because you fake. God wants to deliver you today from fakeness and be vulnerable and be real. Amen. That dying world needs a true and real church that can speak the truth out. Here's where I was, here's where I'm now, but here's where I'm going. I'm broken and I'm hurting and I got struggles, but I know what God has done for me before and he's going to do it again. And guess what? The same God that left the 99 to find the one is the same God that can find you. Right? The core fear of the righteous older brother is this: it's vulnerability. He is fearful of being exposed as not being good enough after all. I want to break something to you. You're not good enough for God's love. You're not. That's what makes his mercy and his grace so amazing. There's nothing I can do for him to love me more. There's nothing I can do. There's not enough dedication. Listen, since the moment I accepted Christ in 96, I've given him everything I knew how, and he constantly was purging me of things and pruning me of things. And finally I said, I'm going to go to this Bible college and I'm going to do this thing I don't even know about. But I am never going to do enough. I'm never going to preach enough. I'm never going to love enough to deserve what he's given me. That's why he's such a good God. That's why he's a good father. But I got to be real about it. I got to be real about it. Self-righteousness die. Whew, by the nails of Jesus. By the stripes that he took. Be free. And free indeed. Somebody in the house today is fearful of not being good enough after all. I just feel it. There's people in here right now going, that's not me. And that's your pride speaking, because it is you. And you know what? If people haven't been able to talk to you with a real strong tone, it's probably because they're afraid of you, or that you never listen anyway. If you don't have like real friends that tell you real things, the problem isn't the friends, it's you. They can't be real around you because you don't let them be real around you. They want to love you. Strong words from a friend is better than kisses of an enemy. That's what Proverbs tells us. You got to have somebody who speaks true to your life. And you got to be mature enough to handle it. Because if you're not, it's not their fault, it's yours. Now, I'm not saying you go around and just tell everybody what you're thinking about them. Well, that's wrong. See, when you're led by the Holy Ghost, when you're led by the Holy Ghost, you speak to people as where they are, and you want restoration at where they're at and what they're doing. So sometimes you got to speak strong. Like I've been preaching strong. I'm doing it because God's not satisfied where we're at. He wants us to move with him and change with him and be different with him, and not just sit and soak and be grumpy all the time, right? And getting wrinkles, right? You've been in the bath too long. It's time to get out and get dirty so you can get back in the bath again. You got to get in the pig pen with the lost. Got to be real. Just take off the facade. I'm blessed. I know you're blessed. Praise God. I'm blessed too. The moment I said yes to Jesus, I've inherited every single blessing, every single thing for all of eternity. I am so blessed, but what are you walking through? What has God seen you through, right? When's the last time you gave somebody a testimony about the goodness of God and where you were going through something and something hard happened, but God walked you through? When's the last time, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, that you defeated the enemy? Well, yeah, it's in my heart. Man, it's got to be in your mouth. What are you hiding anyway? I don't want to hide the goodness of God. This righteous older brother, he is fearful of being vulnerable. He's fearful of maybe being exposed that he's not good enough after all. So he becomes prideful in order to cover up his fear. As the older brother, it's much easier to rage and to judge than it is to enter into grief, honesty, vulnerability, and then healing. We have to look inside of us to truly allow God to transform us. This morning is a soul search. See, God is in us. He's in us. So here's what we need to do. We need to find out What's in his way? What is blocking the Father's love? In and out. In and out. What is that? What's blocking the Father's love? We're all created to experience God's grace and his unfailing love, but judgment must go. Pride must fall. Self-righteousness and self-righteous attitudes must become humble. Self-deserving must shift to gratitude. Resentment has to shift to contentment. And your heart and your mouth have to go from evaluating others to evaluating only yourself. You know, the people that judge people the most are the ones that actually probably never judge themselves at all. You always got something to say about somebody else. When is the last time you did a soul search and looked in the mirror and said, Father, is there any wicked way in me? Because if it is, expose it. Because I want to be more like your son. I want to be more like your son. Break off that sinful thing of my life. But I want to have a little thing here to say this. Don't say it if you don't mean it, because he will. If you're not ready, he's going to mess you up. And then you're going to think, God's judging me. Oh, God's judging me. He's judging me. Listen, if it's better God judges you now than he does when you meet him in heaven. Hey, hey. See, his revealing and his judgment to us now is to get us into the likeness of Christ, because it's not condemnation, it's conviction, and conviction's a good thing. It's biblical, it's right, and it should be in your life. You should be convicted of your sins, your attitudes, and your posture. You should be. And if you're not listening. You grow the most in the suffering. There is the blessing. There is the resurrection. There is the gifts and the mercy and the grace. There's all the wonderful things of God, but there is also his suffering. There's too many people want his resurrection without the suffering. You can't have just one. Also, you can't just have the suffering without the resurrection. So honesty, vulnerability, inner work, grieving, breaking the unhealthy religious cycles inside of us. This is the only way back to the loving arms of our Father. We must confront the older brother that is inside of us, or we'll stay lost in the Father's house. Humble yourself, church, before you lose yourself. Brant, can you please come? Amen. Amen. I want to ask a question to everybody in here today. Can anybody in here say that I have been the older brother? Yes. Just Brent. Just Brent, Brother Bob. Unless you're going to sing a duet or something. Okay. You just want to take my seat? Okay, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah, I want to humble myself as long as you scoot away from my wife, man. I'm playing. See, whatever church you've been to, if it's not fun, I don't know what you're doing. Amen. You know, God created laughter. God created it. It's a medicine to our soul. But church, I want to get real this morning, right? I love laughter. It opens up our heart. It opens up our soul. And actually, when I learned preaching, one of the things that I learned is there's two ways to get right to the heart of it, is you open it up with silence or you open it up with laughter right before you, bam, hit them with a good one. And now, see? Can anybody in the church house today say, I have been or I am the older brother? Be real. I'm preaching to you today. Honestly, if you didn't raise your hand, you should have. Anybody facing frustration, resentment, or entitlement, come back to the Father's love. Verse 29 says this, "But he," who's the older brother, "replied, 'All these years I've slaved for you. You never once refused, I never once refused a single thing that you told me to do, not one time. And in all that time, you never gave me one young goat for a feast with my friends. Not once. What kind of father are you?'" Church, God, the father is looking for a son, not a slave. You got it wrong. You got it twisted. He wants your devoted love, not your frustrated obligation. Come back to his loving arms, church. Find his real love again. Now those judgmental, self-righteous, and trapped in a cycle of earning God's love, I'm speaking to you. I want you to know this. The same father who compassionately accepted his prodigal son back and forgave him is here this morning with open and loving arms for you. Verse 28 says this. Can you lower the lights, please, Isaiah? The older brother was angry and he wouldn't go in. He wouldn't celebrate. He wouldn't accept that kind of love. He wouldn't accept that. That's not right. God, you don't know what you're doing. Father, you don't know what you're doing. That isn't correct. All these things I've done for you, you've never done something like that for me. I will not go in. I will not celebrate. I will not do that. I love this. Verse 28, the older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. So what happens? It's the same thing that's happening right now. His father came out and begged him. His father came out and he met him and he spoke to his greatest fear. He spoke face to face. See, I love this. The father didn't just seek the prodigal from afar. He also sought the older brother as well. Whew. Come on. God's desire is for restoration and healing. When, Pastor? Always. Every day of every hour of every minute. God's desire is for restoration and healing. Now here's the first step. It's for us to be honest with God about how we feel and what's going on in our heart, what's going on in our mind. I don't know about you, but I've been in the car where my steering wheel took a beating. God, why is this going on in my life? But you know that I serve these people and they backstab me and they hurt me and they do this and whatever, right? Don't you know that I'm serving and I want to follow you and that everything keeps falling apart and I don't know, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough whatever. Like, have you ever been there? Anybody ever beat up your steering wheel? Anybody ever been in the shower and singing went into crying? And he said, God, meet me wherever, and he meets you in the shower. You ever told God all the things that you think he has done wrong? God, look what you did. That person should have lived. That person should have went through this. And I prayed for healing. I prayed for restoration. I prayed that my kid wouldn't run away. I prayed, what have you done? Now, church, I don't know why sometimes prayers aren't answered, but that's not for me to understand. My job is to keep praying and then being grateful no matter whatever happens. I will keep serving the King. But you know what he loves? He loves an honest heart. What are you hiding anyway? He already sees it. A lot of times we act good, but God knows our intentions. Well, I'm going to do this and it looked like I was giving, but really I want in return. He knows our intentions. He knows our heart. And it doesn't hurt him when you're real with him. He can't heal you until you are. Until you get to the root and you be honest with the creator of the universe, you can't truly heal. I want you to search your soul this morning. It's time to find and name what is poisoning your relationship. Be honest and vulnerable with God. Church, this is how we heal. When you're honest with him, here's what he's going to respond with. It's the same words of compassion that he gave the older brother in the prodigal story. It's this: I'm always with you, and everything I have is yours. Whew. Church, please stand. This is a soft closing. If you need to go, please do not talk to someone else. We have snipers on the roof that will take you out. I'm just playing. It's not true. Stand down. Do me a favor. Get in a posture of just being vulnerable. Just put your hands out or up, however you want to do it. See, it's an international sign of surrender when we lift our hands. It's a sign of worship, but it's a sign of surrender as well. So I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, search our hearts, search our souls. If we have been the older brother in any way, forgive us. Heal us. God, I want to be as real can be. There are people that are lost. I want to join the celebration I was meant to join. If I'm bitter or angry, unforgiving, if I have problems in my heart, in my mind, if I think that I know what's right over what you know is right, forgive me of that. I want to join the celebration, for the lost has come home. I want to be a part of the party in heaven. So right now, Holy Spirit, convict our hearts. Prayer teams, can you come to the front? Just make your way. I'm gonna leave it open. We're gonna sing one last song before we go. This is a time to ask God to search your heart, search your life. The altars are open. If you want somebody to pray with you, come up and pray. There's gonna be prayer teams. Maybe it's your first time and you've never accepted Christ before. And you say, I wanna know this love. I wanna be free. Come to one of these people up here. They're gonna lead you in a prayer that's gonna forever change your life. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now, move like you wanna move. Do what you wanna do. Heal us, set us free, deliver us, set us on fire, and send us into the world. So many need to know what we know and the answer that we have. But search our heart. If there's any wicked way in me, God, right now, find me. I don't want to act like the older brother. I want to act like the father. Unconditional, incredible love. We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.